Blog Talk Radio.
Sure, though, that we will check it here at mid-morning. I just want everyone to rest assured that we will all of the ticket sales that are made up to that point through, I mean, on PayPal. So we will honor those tickets. We will go to the hotel. I know that there is a margin for error that they always tell us that there's a basically 5 or 10% that's built in to the contract that we have with them for those last 5 or 10%. So that's basically 25 or maybe even a few more tickets. So we will honor all of those tickets that are done on PayPal. But once it's taken down, we've taken it down here this morning, that is it. It is over. It is done. There's over 500 people who have already purchased tickets who will be coming in here to Dallas, Texas. It will be an absolutely fantastic event indeed. It'll be the biggest. It'll be the best event that we've ever had. And then we'll go to the Team and Spirit website, and we will put out on top of that also. It'll say sold out on the front page, and then also we will send out an email so everybody knows as well. So it is going to be a fantastic event, but we will honor all ticket sales that go through on PayPal until we take it down. We will take it down here this morning once Sylvia is able to get that organized here this morning. So, again, congratulations and thanks to everyone. It's going to be a great event. It's going to be the biggest one we've ever had. Last night, it was really late, and I was sitting down, and I was actually sitting down with Sylvia. She said, hey, let's read together, even though that she has had surgery on her eye. She said, let's read together, and let's talk about our goals. Let's talk about what it is that we've got accomplished today, what it is that we want to get done tomorrow, and we're going for that golden hour as everybody else does. And one of the great things that we were talking about, and we were talking about ourselves, we were saying, Jim Rohn always says, do not wish that life gets easier. Wish that you get better. In fact, work at it. You know, one of the things that we have learned is that hope is not a strategy. You know, so often when you're mentoring and coaching people, when you're reflecting and looking at yourself, how often do we use the word, I was hoping that it would so. I hoped that it would happen. But when we understand that hope is not a strategy, the truth is we're all full of limitless capacity. The truth is we all have amazing potential in us. And I was reading through and looking at this, and this is one of the phrases that stood out to me, and I want you to hear this. The difference between what we do and what we are capable of doing. So listen to that. The difference between what we do and what we're capable of doing would suffice to solve most of the world's problems. How true that is. When we think about it, do we always do all that we can do? Because that's all that's asked of us, that we do all that we can do. We can go to bed at night with a satisfaction and a smile on our face when we truly understand that we were unstoppable, that we grew, and we did all that we can do. You know, one of the things I was reading was something about Walt Disney. And he was talking about his attitude that he brought to life and his mentorship. And he was one of the best mentors in the world. And so many of the people today that were part of that mentorship talked about the impact that he had on his life, particularly those young people that he worked with. And he said that one of the things that he would do is he would bring them over when they'd be working on something. And they would have been working night and day, and they would throw their hands up and say, it's impossible. And he would put his arm across their shoulders. He would have his face uncomfortably close to theirs. He would look at them with a big grin on his face, with eyes that seemed to glisten, and looked inside their eyes, down into their soul, and just dance with joy in there. And he would look and say, it's kind of fun to pull off the impossible, isn't it? I'm sure you'll find a way. How nice would it be for ourselves to look to ourselves and say to ourselves, it's kind of fun to pull off the impossible, isn't it? I'm sure you'll find a way. Because it's so easy to get into a place and to be stopped. You know, so many of us are always using all kinds of different excuses. We talked about one of them yesterday, which is we don't have enough time. And I was thinking about this, and we were reading last night, and was just having such a good time. Even though it was really late, I enjoy the process. It's fantastic to have a partner that does it with us. And in fact, in 20 years, I've probably done this every night for that length of time. But listen to this beautiful little one that just handles time so beautifully. Those who make the worst use of their time are the first to complain of its brevity. Wow. Those who make the worst use of their time are the first to complain of its brevity. You know, so often we're just not fully engaged. We're going through mindlessly. We're talking about being depressed, going to bed, lacking in energy, whatever it is. Truth is, we're so often looking for ways to replug in our umbilical cord when we have within us all that we need to succeed. God doesn't play favorites. We truly have it all. The fact is, we have all the potential in us today to create a better tomorrow. Because if we go out into today, I love this little idea, make today pay off for tomorrow. Make the future happen and start right now. We all have tomorrow in our hands. It's based upon what it is we do today. What are we going to do? You know, all great people, I believe that all truly successful people have a mission in life. All of them. No exceptions. What is it that you're going to use today for? What is it that you're sowing out into the future? Because you are sowing out into the future. You are part of the creation of the future world that we're all going to collectively live in together, that our children are going to experience tomorrow, that's going to unfold out in front of us. If it's something that we would be glad to say that we were the author of us, would we love to roll down the road 5 or 10 years and have the opportunity to put our signature under the life that we are living? Or will many of us put under their excuses that say, I'm living this life because I was tired. I'm living this life because I didn't have energy. I'm living this life because I was apathetic. I'm living this life because the economy was bad. I'm living this life because I slept in. I'm living this life because my boss didn't like me. I'm living this life because my spouse didn't support me. I'm living this life because I lived in a city that, you know, the weather was bad. I'm living whatever it was. The truth is, we are the authors of our own life. The truth is, we are the directors of our own life. The truth is, we are the actors in our own life. The truth is, we are the co-creators of our own life. I believe God gives us our free agency and lets us co-create with Him, and that's the beauty. How brilliant is it to know that our partner is the greatest partner in the world, that we're partnering up with God? Are we letting them down? Are we choosing to say, I'm pulling my own weight? Are we choosing to honor the talents, gifts, and the beautiful and the majesty of the life that we're living within? Are we just giving up? Because what I've learned is something like this. It's one of the ways Sylvia and I look at one another. We have this little game that we play. We do it all the time whenever we feel a little bit stopped or we're feeling a little bit stuck. And I say this, or she will say this, and we look at one another. Where you give up is where you'll stay at. Listen to that. It pierces in, it cuts right to us, and it helps us understand it with clarity, with understanding. Where you give up is where you stay at. When you give an excuse, what you're basically saying is, I am good with staying here. So another way to ask to give an excuse and to look at it differently is this. When you find yourself during a day, no matter what it is, where you're giving an excuse, in other words, you give whatever it is. Now, it may seem reasonable, it may seem logical, it may seem everything that it may seem. But you can write in blazing capital red letters right underneath this, because it's a stamp of approval that you're putting right to it. It truly is an understanding of exactly what's happening, and it will help us to understand and move forward with clarity and be okay with this. When you give an excuse, no matter what it is, I don't mind the detail, the color, the reason, whatever, the subtext, in fact, the text, in fact, the reality of it, you're saying, I am good here. And I love the way, you know, Vince Lombardi put it. Vince Lombardi was truly an awesome individual, one of the best coaches in the NFL ever. He had one of the big and most winningest coaches ever for the longest period of time, and he was famous for his ability to mentor other people. And his mentorship, it was great. I went one time to the Green Bay Packers. I spent some time with Darren and Megan College, and I went in there. I had an opportunity to tour the facility, walk through, get them, take loads of photographs, be in the locker rooms, look at all the phrases that were written on the wall, and I had my little notebook with me, and I wrote some of them down. Here's the one that I loved. It said, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. I think we understand that. I was speaking to Dennis Norquist and Gene Stewart yesterday. We were talking of that, how true that it is. You know, talking to Duran Barnes and saying, he said, how true that it is. The harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. But I love another one that he said. And this is the one that will just open you up and just truly capture what it is that we are. Listen to this. Once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. I remember seeing it. It was in the locker room with the strength and conditioning coaches. I was with Megan and Darren College. We went in there, and they introduced me to the strength and conditioning coach, and right over the door where somebody who would quit would walk right out after training by giving up, and right over the door, it said, once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. And he said, we always make them look up and say, if you want to walk up out of here, you will understand that you're making a habit of quitting, and quitters never win. I said, wow, that's in your face. And he didn't say anything else. He said, no, that's not in your face. That is in your life. That's not just in your life. If you walk out that door, it will become your life. Wow. What a lesson. So often we're walking through doors that we're quitting. We're sauntering down the corridors of comfort, but we don't have a powerful coach that is telling us what's at the other end of it. We don't have a powerful coach that's not only telling us, that's truly inspiring us and helping us to understand that we are more, that we can become more. The harder you work, the harder it is to quit. That it's okay to work hard because it's the overcoming that's part of the becoming. That inside in this room where we're working out, we understand that we're going to put effort in. We understand that the goal is, if you ever work with a personal trainer, they say, work to exhaustion, work till you can't do anymore. Do one more rep until you can't push it up anymore. Till you already get it to exhaustion, almost to quitting. And then you say, okay. And then you know you've given it all, but you know that the next day you will be able to do more. That's the same in everything in our lives. If we truly understand the way life works, we can make it happen. So how will we be able to have people work that hard? When I spoke with this strength and conditioning coach, when I read books from Vincent Lombardi, this is how he did it. He said, understand that last rep when you're pushing that weight, that last run around that track, that last time that you get hit, that last time in the day I ask you to get up one more time. You're not just getting up one more time for the sake of getting up one more time. You're getting up one more time because you know that it's going to grow the character within you. That it's going to grow the character within you that's going to be reflected in the team that you're part of. For them, it was the Green Bay Packers. For us, it's team in spirit, but also it's the team we're part of. It is the family that we're part of, the community we're part of, the church that we're part of. Remember what I said. All successful people have a mission in life. All, no exception, what is yours? What are you becoming? Why are you becoming it? What is it that you want to do? Because that's the reason that we want to make it happen. And Vince Lombardi, and I'll finish with this, he said, when you understand why you're doing it for yourself, you want to become better for your team, for your family, for your church, for your community. His very last speech that he ever made was a lunchtime speech. And at this speech, he had a load of people, and there were business people from all over the world, for this man was dying and they knew this would be the last time he'd speak in public. And he said in a very quiet voice, he said, "Let me share with you the one lesson, the most important lesson, as to why you will get it done, why you'll do that one more rep, why it's harder to surrender when you work hard, why you understand that once you quit, it becomes a habit, why you'll do it for yourself, you'll do it for your team, and do it for other people." He says it's all because of the heart. With a hush in the crowd, everybody listening in, he said the most important thing to do is capture your team's heart. Capture your people's heart. Once you capture your own heart and know why you're doing it, you can help other people capture theirs. Once you've got your hearts that you truly link together, it's linking arms, linking aims, and linking hearts. When the team's heart beats at one, anything is possible. Have a God-filled, gorgeous, beautiful day today. Why? Because you deserve it. And you are.
You know, Jim, that's a great way for us to start our morning off here at Radio for Your Mind as we get into what our main theme has been this week, which is coffee house conversations, buddy. What do you think?
You know, I think the most important thing that he mentioned this morning is if you learn how to quit, it becomes a habit. Because, you know, getting up and going to meet somebody at a coffee shop and sit down and interview them and find out what their needs, wants, and desires really are, if you don't have time to do that, what do you have time to do? What are you making time to do? Now, last week, we promised our listeners that we were going to get into the coffee shop interviews, but so far this week, yeah, the subjects that Garrett's talked about in the morning have segued us right into some really good conversations about the things that he talked about to start off with. Today would be no exception. However, I find it that we would be remiss in following up on a promise that we made if we were not to talk about the coffee shop interview process. What do you think, my friend?
I think that you're dead on there, you know, because there's so many times, I know in my life, down here in Destin, I have made my morning ritual throughout the wintertime more than the summer, because in the summer I'm walking the beach. But in the wintertime, I find one of our local coffee shops, I'll find a bagel shop, or I'll even go to a Starbucks every now and then, and I have struck up more conversations, been able to bring people into my business, either as a user or as a distributor, literally by just sitting there and building those relationships, Jim, which is what this is all about. And we may have lost Jimmy. I know, Matt, you're with me on the call, right?
I am. Can you hear me okay? I got a lot of static and crap in my line, but can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. How many times, I know that I've caught you sometimes out and about eating dinner, having appointments. How's that worked for you as you've started to build, and how do you go about doing that?
Well, conversations, basically. I mean, you meet somebody new, it goes into the form, you know, family, occupation, recreation, money.
Mm-hmm.
And by asking those questions and chit-chat, you start to realize or start to ask and you start to understand and learn about a person and vice versa. And as you move forward, people start to ask what you do for a living. And so it does work out. And I haven't done a lot of it because, you know, I use the Internet a lot.
Sure.
But, you know, in the last year or so, I've done a lot more of it. And it's amazing what can happen just by opening your mouth.
Well, you know, I can remember back it's been about a year and a half ago. I had a gentleman that I'd gotten to know pretty good for the last 3 years. We've met at a coffee shop, had breakfast, and just chatted. We got to know each other at that little bagel shop is what it was. And one day we were just sitting there, and he was talking to me about his past days in the CIA and everything that he'd done there and some of his other business ventures, which just happened to be to build the steel frame of the Mall of America. So you can imagine the kind of money that this guy had after just that one project. And we were just chatting, and all of a sudden he shared with me a need in his life. And I said, "Man, that's exactly the kind of business I'm in. I think I might be able to help you." So we started talking about my business, and before too long, I'm over at his beautiful home on the golf He's sharing with me. We're getting him what he needs. And then about a week later, I'm at the bank. I'm going through the drive-thru to get some cash. He's inside the bank, and he's waving at me. And all of a sudden, this just most distinguished gentleman comes over to the window, and he said, "Can you come inside?" And I said, "Sure, no problem." So I drove around and went inside. It was the president of the bank, and my brand-new business associate had said, "You've got to talk to this guy. He can help change your life." And I'm thinking, man, now does that not just take the cake? You hear about stories like that, but I got to live one, and it just shows when you're hanging out in a coffee shop doing it right, man, you never know how big your business can grow. Jimmy, are you back with us?
I think the real key to the whole concept of the coffee shop interview is just asking questions. So rather than delve into the nuts and bolts of it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to share with our listeners the kinds of questions. Matt, you mentioned briefly the concept of form, and it's a concept that we teach all the time. But to elaborate a little bit more on it, let's share for the listeners' benefit today some of the kinds of questions that we might ask and the manner in which that we would deliver them. Because the way that you deliver a question can truly determine the outcome of the kinds of answers that you get. Would you agree with me on that?
I would 100%.
Okay. So, Matt, why don't you go first, Troy, you go next, and then I'll tie in here at the end.
Sounds good.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Who am I role playing with, by the way?
You can role play with me, Matt. I'll role play with you, buddy.
All right, right on. Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Just enjoying this beautiful day. So I could head up to the beach here this afternoon. How about yourself? What are you up to today?
You know what? I'm just going to take it easy. My baby girl just turned 15, so I think I'm going to probably be taking her out to teach her to drive a little bit more.
Wow, there you go. 15, huh? What's your name?
Her name is Tessa.
Tessa, beautiful name.
Thank you.
All right. So what is your name, sir?
My name is Troy Dooley.
Troy Dooley, Matt Jameson. Pleasure to meet you.
Meet me. Do you come in here often?
Yeah, I'd say a couple times a week. Yourself?
I come in about every morning, man. I just love their bagels, love their coffee.
Oh, right on. Maybe I should start coming in more often, too. Seems like there's some great people to hang around in here. Troy, what do you do for work? If you're able to come in every day at this time of day, it's mid-morning here. What do you do for work, Troy?
You know what? I'm a computer consultant, so I'm usually on call. I do business with the people that actually call up and say, hey, our computers are messed up, or we think we've got viruses and stuff. And then we go out on call most of the time it's afternoon and evening work. Usually in the morning time, everybody's just getting started.
Afternoons and evenings? I mean, like late evenings, or...?
Sometimes, depending on the business, we're in a tourist area, so there's a lot of times if one of the computer systems go down in the hotels, then we're over there taking care of it late at night.
Wow. Well, how do you like what you do, Troy?
You know, I enjoy it. It doesn't give me a lot of night time with my family, and we like to go to the beach and hang out, and I like to play with the kids, and lately it's just we've been swamped taking care of business.
Wow. Well, so you haven't got a lot of beach time then?
Not at all.
Oh, no. Man.
One of the most important things, guys, I think, in terms of the questions that we ask people, is seeking to find our prospect pain. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the reason I say that is because pain in the prospect life is what's going to cause them to look for an additional stream of income. You know, when a prospect has some things in their life that they want to change, and pain is usually the source of causing a desire for change. Now, change could be anything from a very small thing to something drastic. It could be something as simple as, wanting to go on vacation. It could be something as major as wanting to buy a new house and move to a different neighborhood, or even move to another city or state. When you're asking people questions about
their why, discovering what their pains are in their life and their needs, wants, and desires. If you're asking it in a tone of helpfulness, that's the biggest key in the process. Because ultimately, it's like Garrett said, when you touch their hearts, their minds will follow. You've got to touch their hearts and capture their hearts on any team in any scenario.
No, I agree with you on that, Jimmy, and I think that's one of the reasons that I always start out asking questions about family. You know, how long have you lived here? Do you live here with your family? I do it in a very casual way, kind of like what Matt just did. And then we really dive into the next question for me, which is always that, what's your occupation? Because as soon as they tie family and occupation together, I can usually figure out really quick, okay, are they having that quality time they want with their family? Are they missing out with their family just by the type of occupation that they happen to be in? Or sometimes I'll ask occupation and a guy will tell me, you know, what he actually, his title is. I'm a manager, I'm this or that. And any time I get that, then I automatically know he's probably got more time at the office than he does at home.
No, you're absolutely right, Troy. Because ultimately, there's two kinds of people working in the glass ceiling corporate America that I'm aware of. And you can, you know, please feel free to add to this if you're aware of something that I'm not familiar with. And the first one is the person who's working their tail off and there's always more month left at the end of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is the one who makes an absolutely phenomenal income, but they're constantly on the go, 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 and they have no time to enjoy that money or spend it with their family.
My doctor's actually like that.
You're absolutely right. But, you know, the thing about a lot of the professionals, as we would look at them, the doctors, the attorneys, the mortgage brokers, insurance people, stuff like that, that are making these high-dollar incomes, they're all trading time for money.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what the profession is, because they cannot just stop seeing clients, patients, or customers and expect their income to continue. That's the neatest thing that this industry offers, is the opportunity to help other people to help themselves first, and through helping themselves, you empower them and teach them to be able to help others, and through that, you can leverage both time and money. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the key to that process is the process of the coffee shop interview and just not quitting, not making a habit of taking no personally. Understanding that no, I'm not interested could simply mean now is not a good time for me. Now, I know for a fact in the 27 years that you've been involved in this industry that on more occasions than you can count on one hand, you've had people come back to you a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road and ask you, hey, Troy, are you still doing that thing?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I wish I could count how many times that's happened, man.
I wish I had a nickel for every time that's happened. Yeah, mm-hmm. I could quit working altogether. Because people are so afraid to step out of their comfort zone that it's not even funny. And typically what happens is they're going to say, well, you go try it, you know, and if it works for you, then come back and talk to me. And if you don't go chasing them with the attitude of a hunter, you're much more likely to attract them back into your business through normal coffee shop conversation. Troy, why don't you take it out this morning, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Well, folks, I want you to know what Jimmy said is so true. And tomorrow, we're going to go into what Howard Schultz of Starbucks calls the third place, and we'll show you how easy it is to take your network marketing career to a whole new level in a coffee shop experience. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you on Radio for Your Mind tomorrow morning. Bye now.
Bless everybody. Have a great day.